fortunately gone into business rescue. This is never what we want to see. This is where people's jobs are in danger, where operations are at risk of being shut down, and the business rescue company, or the business that's gone into business rescue this time around, is the Cross Trainer brand. I'm joined on the line by Dr. Eric Levenstein, who is head of business rescue and insolvency at Worksman's Attorneys, to take a look at this and try and unpack what's going on here. Dr. Levenstein, thanks so much for taking the time. Do we know what caused this particular business rescue proceeding to be triggered?
Yes, Jimmy. I think from what I've seen in the press and in the media, clearly Cross Trainer had a knock-on contagion effect coming out of the 2021 looting of stores countrywide. I think it was June, July of that year. And according to the CEO, a lot of those issues impacted on the business, on the financial sustainability of the business, and which resulted in a knock-on effect into 2024, and which I think has caused the company having to go into business rescue. The business rescue practitioner has reported already having looked at the business, looking at the footprint, looking at the number of stores, looking potentially at retrenchments, and maybe selling the business as a going concern out of business rescue. But it's very much early days. I think the business rescue practitioner and the management of the company are going to have a careful look at where this is going to end and whether or not the company can in fact be rescued.
Dr. Levenstein, let's look at some of the implications or the impact that business rescue proceedings typically have on a business. I mean, we've touched on some things around the staff side of it and the operation side of it. What do we typically see under these conditions? Because I imagine it's certainly not business as usual.
Yeah, I suppose it's business unusual because what happens is that the practitioner takes control of the business. The directors play very much a secondary role. All decision making is now in the hands of the business rescue practitioner. He or she is now obligated to produce a business rescue plan, put it to the stakeholders, particularly creditors, and get a vote in support of that plan. Now, that plan can have various permutations. It could be a wind down of the business, a closure of certain stores in this instance. It might, as I said earlier, result in a sale of the business to a third party. All of it has to be approved by creditors, and particularly by 75% of those creditors voting in value. So what is also interesting is the rescue process allows a restructuring of the lease portfolio, let's say maybe a renegotiation of certain leases, maybe making the business far more financially sustainable. That can happen in a business rescue. And as I said, you can have retrenchments of staff, maybe managing the workforce down to make it more manageable in the sense that the company can continue to trade with a more reduced workforce in place.
Dr. Levenstein, when we look at that specific aspect of reductions, and obviously nobody wants to see jobs being lost or people losing their livelihoods, but is there merit in scaling down a business? I mean, I look at a business like Cross Trainer that has more than 67 stores open. Is there merit from a business rescue point of view in your experience to say maybe the operation is too big at this stage? Rather than losing the whole group, let's trim that down a bit. Let's get rid of one or two stores. And is that something that a business rescue practitioner kind of looks at as a first point of call or as a last resort?
Absolutely, Jimmy. You've just summarized exactly what a practitioner has to look at. And in fact, if the business rescue's of the view, practitioner's of the view, that there's no reasonable prospect of rescue, he's obligated to place the company into liquidation. Now, no one wants to see any company go into liquidation. That's the end game for the company. Jobs are lost, and basically the company's assets will be sold at best, and creditors will get something in the rand. The purpose of business rescue is to, in fact, look at a continuation of the business, but preferably on a reduced scale. There's a reason why the company is in financial distress and a reason why it had to file for rescue. So it's about looking at the supply agreements, looking at maybe loan positions with banks to see whether or not those can be reviewed or maybe renegotiated. And as I said, the most important in retail, which for example we saw in Edcon, when that went through its business rescue process, reducing the store footprint to a level where in fact the business could be sold at a much, let's say, more sustainable obligation to landlords across the country. And I think that really is what the business rescue practitioner will look at in the instance of Cross Trainer going forward.
Dr. Levenstein, you bring up Edcon, and this is not the first time we've seen these businesses in South Africa go into these difficult times of financial distress. Are there commonalities that are emerging from what might be tipping companies into financial distress? I mean, I think about some other examples of companies where the likes of the Ellis business, no longer listed on the JSE, the likes of AutoZone recently that have been announced to be going into business rescue. Are we able to start to see perhaps trends that might have emerged as to what's causing these things?
Look, I think over the last, let's say, year or so, certainly the power outage issues in South Africa have had a major knock-on effect on the ability of companies to trade profitably. But I think it's not necessarily applicable to every single company. For example, CrossTrainer talks about the knock-on effect of the July 2021 unrest. It might seem a long time ago, but the contagion certainly was there to make it go into a position of financial distress. I think every company enters business rescue for different reasons. When you look at trends, you know, you have a profile of a company. Some might have issues with being able to trade profitably. It might be interest rates. It might be the exchange rate. It might be an inability to pay your debts because just as a result of insufficient trading. So there's all sorts of reasons why the likes of AutoZone, I think we've spoken about Westpac and others, have gone into a business rescue process. And for example, Tongaat Hulett is still in its business rescue process. That's been going for a while. And of course, in time, that will also be resolved, hopefully, in favor of all the stakeholders there. So at the end of the day, what we're trying to move away from is liquidation, and business rescue provides the option to at least restructure the business, hopefully in favor of the company and its workers and employees, and particularly its creditors.
Mm. Dr. Levenstein, businesses out there that might be going through financial distress or that might be looking at early signs of financial distress, how do you identify the early signs of potential trouble, number one, and are there other steps that a business can put in place before the business rescue process or proceeding stage, so reaching out to creditors, for example, to renegotiate terms or something of the sort? Are there practical things that companies out there can see as early warning signs and can put in place preventative measures?
So the Act talks about a six-month window, and there's a reason for that. What the Act talks about, the Companies Act, when you look at financial distress, is will you be able to pay your debts in the next six-month period? Now, if directors and management are honest with themselves, they'll be able to kind of get a feeling as to whether or not that is something which is coming down the line. And if so, they should be taking advice both legally and from restructuring experts to consider whether or not their company is in fact a candidate for business rescue and what they can do about a restructuring position. Now, a lot of companies, unfortunately, their directors look at a situation like this far too late. And when even if it does go into business rescue, there's not much left to rescue because they've too far down the financial distress curve. So the key is to look at the position and be advised properly as early as possible. And of course, people and management, I think, would know quite quickly whether or not they can pay the ongoing obligations to suppliers within a pretty short time frame. And the second, Jimmy, is of course allowing your business rescue practitioner to come in, do what we call a pre-assessment, have a real hard look at whether or not this company is, in fact, a candidate for rescue. Many companies should be placed into liquidation and not go through the pain of a business rescue because it's just not a sustainable prospect. So I think if the right business rescue practitioner is appointed, he does a proper look from a pre-assessment perspective. I think the opportunity to successfully rescue the company, rather, would be far more let's say sustainable in the short term, rather than go down a long road of business rescue, which doesn't work and it ends up in liquidation.
lots to think about and a process, especially if we are looking at businesses and ensuring their survival. We hope that the team at Cross Trainer and the business rescue practitioners can help resolve this and save as many jobs as possible. I think we'll leave it at that for now. Dr. Levenstein, thanks so much for the time and the insights. Dr. Eric Levenstein, head of business rescue and insolvency at Worksman's Attorneys, joining me to look at the business rescue environment and how to navigate it and make sense of it.
Which is the best way to reach success?